Just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing because we need you now more than ever.
Hi guys, you're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Sasha Shipway. Did you see that Suncorp Super Final on Sunday? I did. It was a good time here in Australia, but maybe a tiny bit early for you guys in the UK. If you missed it, make sure you watch it. It's one not to be missed. So I've been speaking to Erin Del Hunty from The Guardian about what she made of the game. But first, here's a chance to hear from West Coast Fever's head coach and the new Australian Diamonds coach, Stacey Marinkovic.
Oh, I think just in the whole game, it was just such a high level of skill across both teams. Like, there wasn't too much room for error, and it's just little key moments. But I'm just so incredibly proud of our girls. I think, you know, Ixon's had been the informed team of the season, but the way in which we have taken every challenge, and, you know, just there's so many things that happen behind the scenes that you just know that the girls have done everything and they ticked all the boxes that I ever asked of them in their preparation, in their focus around performance, in their support of one another. So it's just, yeah, it's just, that's the way sport is. There's got to be a winner and there's got to be a runner-up, and we just fell short. It's pretty gut-wrenching right now, and I think it's because we've grown so much over that period of time, and we made some big decisions around the club, and we backed it in there. And you know, over 18 months, we've built a team that can play that kind of netball. So our brand was really strong, and we were close. We had such inner belief in the group, and I think 2018, whilst it was great to get there, I just think we were right in the wave of the way in which we played. Whereas I think we were owning the way in which we played now.
And here is the victorious coach from the Melbourne Vixens, Simone McInnes.
It was just exhilaration, that moment when the game is over. Just, and pride and relief and everything in between and around that. And now it's just satisfaction because of what's been a really full-on season, full-on year. And just proud of the girls that we can now actually breathe and enjoy what has been a well and hard-earned championship. One of the things we spoke about beforehand is being composed and in control, and recognising that there are going to be ups and downs, and they're going to be coming at you, and there'll be times when you're in front, but just sticking to what you needed to do, just keeping it simple. Don't get distracted by score lines or two-point shots or intercepts. It's just keep at it and it'll come.
Erin is a freelance journalist, and you've probably seen her work in The Guardian. I've been asking her what she made of that incredible final. And who might be next in line after Caitlin Thwaites and Tegan Phillip retire?
Wasn't it just an extraordinary game of netball? I mean, I just kept running through my mind, just what a game, so many facets to it on so many different levels. And I expected a tight game, and I thought, you know, no one knew who was going to win it, but even I didn't expect it to be as tight and down to the wire and such a high quality game that it was.
Oh, totally. It was almost like there was nothing separating the two of them, and it was so difficult, you know, right up until almost the last 40 seconds to figure out who was actually going to win. So who for you stood out? Obviously Mike and Wende got the player of the match, but was there anyone else who stood out for you?
Yeah, look, I certainly thought Mai was a deserving MVP, especially because so much of the focus had been on Thwaites and Phillip leading into the final. But for me, the other big standout was Jo Weston. I thought she had the best game that she'd had all season, for sure. And in kind of that classic goal defence grinding sort of a way, the numbers didn't sort of jump off the page. She only had one intercept and a handful of deflections, but she really wore down Alice Teague-Neild. and, you know, cut down her effectiveness as a ball handler, I thought. And she did give away a lot of penalties, but as tends to be the way with Vixens, I think some of those penalties were actually okay and served to slow the feed down a little bit. But across the Vixens, you could probably pick out a few of the players. I mean, Liz Watson was good, but she certainly wasn't the absolute defining factor that she has been in other games this year, I didn't think.
Yeah, no, I agree. Thought Kay Eddy had an outstanding game as well. And then I couldn't believe that she had the moon boot on in photos afterwards. I was like, oh my God, it's like Julie Corletto all over again.
Yes, leading into the week and the different training sessions, I was, you know, you hear little whispers and things like that. And I was thinking she probably wasn't going to make it because it is, you know, seemed to be quite a serious injury. But yeah, the phrase Julie Corletto-esque come to mind. And it was interesting that she got a little bit of a rest there towards the end as well. So whether that, whether it was really giving her a lot of pain, a bit like Julie Corletto, we might not find out until after her career has finished. But yeah, particularly one intercept off the centre pass that, you know, early in the match that really helped swing momentum Vixen's way was really key, I thought. But again, the defensive pressure that all of them put onto the ball coming into Fowler, that's what created the turnovers and the tips for, you know, for Emmanix on the most part.
It could have quite easily gone the other way to Fever. Really, as we said, didn't feel like there was that much between the two, and we could be picking out players from Fever and play that they did to create a win. But, you know,
well, the little short pass, potential short pass right at the end between Joe Weston and Kate Maloney,
if that
hadn't been paid, we might be talking about a very different story. That one sort of jumped out at me. I thought that might have been a moment that, yeah, that penalty was paid and probably going into extra time. But, I mean, you can comb through a game and find, you know, hundreds of little moments like that as well. But it did, I know that it could have gone either way, but Vixens did have there was a sense of calm, I thought, with them throughout the game, and they never felt like they were necessarily out of it, and I felt like they had a way to turn over ball, whereas Fever did struggle to do that from where I was sitting, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think that there was an element from Simone McInnes to be a bit like, "F*** you," in that?
Look, earlier in the week, she was very explicit in saying the complete opposite. She was very clear in media interviews that this was not about the Diamonds' role. This was about the Vixens' role. And Stacey Marinkovic said, you know, we're not, you know, this, I'm the Fever coach right now. But, I mean, anyone that follows netball knows if you're the Diamonds coach, you're the Diamonds coach 24/7. So Simone McInnes beat the Diamonds coach on Sunday, and people can decide for themselves what that potentially means, I guess.
I mean, I couldn't help but think that a little bit, because you can only imagine how tough the interviews and everything like that would have been for that role. So it, you know, does slightly feel a little bit like that. But I think congrats to both of them.
Human nature. Yeah. I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't think it's suggesting anything bad about Simone's personality that there would be a sense of satisfaction there, particularly anyone that's watched her play any of her netball, coming through the ranks at an international level. She was a pretty tough and uncompromising character. So I would be shocked if it didn't. Maybe one of the fist pumps.
Yeah, just one. Just
and the other one was for the girls, and then the third one was from Victoria. That's what I like to think.
I like that analysis. You know, that sounds good to me. I love that. And looking at Fever, obviously, absolute tragedy for them. They believed fully that they were going to do it. And, I mean, what did you think about their play, and where do you think that they'll progress from this?
Oh, I mean, you think about it. They won the first quarter. They drew the second quarter. They won the last quarter. They didn't play a bad game of netball. They didn't make mistakes left, right and centre. I don't think necessarily that Marinkovic made any huge blunders in terms of selection or where she played people. I did think once she started making moves in the mid-court, I did think that indicated that she was a little bit worried about what was happening. And I think we forget too, they were playing without one of their starting seven in Ingrid Collier. In any other scenario, she would have been on the court. So there was an element of trying to cover her. As good as Emma Kosh has been, she's been quite serviceable in that position. And you've got Jess Ancers, who can play anywhere, but she can still only play one position. So I think that probably played a bigger influence in the game than what maybe a lot of people are thinking about, because they didn't do a whole lot else wrong, really. I think they're probably just missing that that little connection. And also I thought defensively they were a little bit exposed. I thought Stacey Francis was well down. We've seen much better performances out of her, I thought. And, you know, in a game that's won by two goals, you know, small errors and small penalties, you know, given outside the goal ring, for example, can be really costly.
Mm. As you mentioned before, we know that Caitlin Thwaites and Tegan Phillip are both retiring. That was their final ever game, believe it or not. But
yeah.
Where will Vixens go after this? Is it going to be a case of rebuilding, or do you think that there's a possibility that we might see them in the grand final next year?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was just working on a piece today, sort of looking to next year for all of the clubs. And I think they obviously have the biggest hole, if that's the right way to put it, with losing the two of them out of that lineup. That's not the case of you're not missing one mid-quarter and one defence. That's a huge chunk of, you know, an important end of the court. But this is Simone McInnes. Nothing comes as a surprise to Simone. You know, we might have been surprised to learn about Caitlin in particular, choosing this year to retire, but Tegan, this will always look like it would be Tegan's last year, I would have thought. So there's certainly people sort of in the Victorian pathway, and that's something I think has been a really strong theme through this year for the Vixens. They are actually the only team, aside from their imports, obviously, that are purely have players from the state that they represent, and that's something that Netball Victoria, who own and run the Vixens, are very proud of. So I'm sure there's someone earmarked in the pathway that will probably come through, and they still have Mike and Wenda as well. It's not as if they're looking for an entire shooting end, and there is a lot of up-and-coming young shooting talent in Victoria. But interestingly, today, with a few piece of signing news, looks like Naya Allen, who was at Collingwood this year, might be at a loose end. There's not room for her, as far as I can tell, on the Adelaide Thunderbirds roster. She's living in Melbourne, obviously, being in Collingwood. So whether that's a potential option for the Vixens, I don't know. But the one thing I do know is that there would already be a plan, probably well advanced, at this stage.
Gosh, it seems shocking that someone of her calibre, you know, she's got so much talent, that she is almost without a place. It's just one of those things. I mean,
Speaks to the quality of the league, doesn't it? That we're starting to see that more internationals coming in. You know, with not having an import rule, that's an inevitable consequence. We're going to see more and more imports. And when you think about the grand final, you can't imagine that game without Janiel and Mai at the very least. I know there's other imports there, but you know, for the two of them, it's such a great thing for our game. And Naya is she's a quality player. She's very young. She's still got, you know, a lot of development left in her. So I do expect to see her at the highest level reasonably quickly.
Definitely. And I mean, there was a lot of talk about it online today, the media coverage, generally a lot of outlets deciding to give that grand final, that Vixens win, the smallest bit of coverage possible, or none at all. What did you make of that?
Oh, look, it's an interesting discussion. You know, working in the media as well, it kind of gives you a different perspective on things, because particularly with a lot of media outlets that have paywalls and things like that at the moment, whether we like it or not as the public, it is about clicks, and it is about, you know, what is interesting to people and what are people necessarily going to click on. But the thing that Netball needs to kind of break through with it is, you know, expecting big coverage in a grand final, that absolutely these athletes that have given up their life and moved thousands of kilometres away from home deserve as much recognition, if not more, than the male athletes that we're seeing in hubs at the moment. But it's about building that across the season. It's about building the readership so people know that they can get their Super Netball information in one place, rather than just wanting it to be a one-off. We shouldn't have to have a headline story, you know, like a grand final win for Victoria, to necessarily be of interest to the media. We need to build it across the season, and that comes down to the, you know, to the clubs and the fans and all of us kind of playing our part as best that we can in that. I was really excited to see the level of coverage that we did in Melbourne in particular, because there was that really strong narrative about Victoria, which obviously has been suffering so much with coronavirus restrictions.
That's really interesting, actually. And, you know, the season has wrapped now. It was a season we weren't sure we were going to have at one point, and then they introduced that two-point shot, which I know you're a massive fan of. Looking back now, what do you make of the season overall, if it's possible to summarise, you know, that many games?
It's so difficult. I mean, firstly, to even have had a season and to have completed a season is just an extraordinary achievement for everybody that's involved. You know, and the financial side of it is another thing that, you know, is going to come out in the next couple of months around how much it actually costs to get the league actually happening and to get it finished, because they needed that broadcast product, they needed it on TV to get that money, you know, from Channel 9. It's that really symbiotic relationship. So the fact that it happened is absolutely amazing. But there also has been, you know, just writing a piece recently and just sort of mentioning about some of the controversies and the conflict that we've seen. You know, I had it sort of sitting in my draft, so I kept going back and going, oh, yeah, that's right, we had that send-off. That was really terrible. That reflected really badly on the game. Oh, that's right. And then we had the terrible incident with Gemma Maimai in Indigenous round. Mm-hmm. And then and you know what I mean? A number of things were continually happening and were coming up. And I do think it tested the maturity of the game at the moment and the maturity of the league. I was really concerned in particular around the send-off that we saw of Christina Emmanuel from the Giants. I thought that the league didn't necessarily deal with that particularly well. They didn't come out and talk about the interpretation or back the umpire's interpretation, which you would hope you would see in other major leagues. And again, those other controversies, you know, really sort of, I thought, reflected, you know, not particularly well on the league. But at the same time, that is a sign of a maturing sport, that we're having a debate and we're having controversy. And dare I say, those issues did sort of get into the mainstream media and were things that were discussed. So they're not all necessarily bad things, but I think how we move on from here and what next year looks like and what the next broadcast deal hopefully looks like is the next evolution of our sport in Australia.
Oh, I like it. I can't wait to watch it. Thanks so much, Erin.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, as always, for listening to us here on The Netball Show with Mizuno. It's fantastic to have your support. If you did like that episode, why not share it with a friend or give us a thumbs up online? We are at The Netball Show, and I'm Sasha Shipway.
Just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing because we need you now more than ever.